everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. I am C.A. Brooks, and you're listening to the Friday Morning Show on 1-2 Radio, the show where we talk about A Course in Miracles. And I know that a lot of people have different names for it. In fact, on the banner now, it says Studies in A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks. But you know what? We're still trying to nail that down. But I kind of like that idea of the Friday Morning Show, maybe just because I think it's always good to kind of start your day off on the right foot, so to speak, which is something I really strive to do, especially with A Course in Miracles, but I think also for the weekend. You know, isn't it kind of nice to just start the weekend with something spiritual, with something grounding, with something that just kind of gets you back to where you need to be? But there again, if you guys have ideas for what you think this show should be called, I am open. I mean, I'm, you know, would love to have kind of a catchy title. The other thing, though, is I do know that oftentimes it's good to have the word miracles in the title because then people searching can find it easier. However, I've been a little resistant to that because, you know, according to the world, miracles mean different things. And obviously, in A Course in Miracles, so often what we're really talking about is changing the way we think, kind of redefining what some of those things mean for us. And so there is a part of me that thinks, okay, I'm not quite sure we should just throw miracles in there unless we really say A Course in Miracles, because I don't want people thinking it's something that it's not. However, that's not really under my control anyway, right? So let's get on. Today is May 4th, if you're listening live, and this is 2018, although in some ways I always say I don't think it really matters, because with A Course in Miracles, everything is so incredibly holistic and what I like to think of as a hologram, because we can just kind of dip into almost any place. And even though it's important, I think, to understand contextually, like going through the text, going through the lessons, it is easier, you know, if you don't just open the book and say, okay, I think I'm going to read this. But once you've read it, you realize that everything fits back together. And that's just the way it works. So it is very holistic. So if you're not listening to this on May 4th, you're listening to it in the archives are on demand on 1-2 Radio, or maybe you're listening to an encore. I just don't think there's any mistakes. I don't think there's accidents. I don't think there's mistakes. I think we kind of hear things that we need to hear. So thank you for hearing this today and for being with me. And what we're going to do on the show today, I have Susan Dugan, one of my friends, one of my partners in crime, I guess I kind of think, because we're students of A Course in Miracles. And Susan is actually a really incredible writer. And in fact, I forgot to ask you about that, Susan. I'm wondering how you're, I know that you've been doing some fictional writing, which I guess is what our lives are anyway, right?
Yes, that's as it turns out.
As it turns out, yeah. So you're just being more honest than the rest of us, saying, hey, I'm really writing fiction here. But Susan also, she coordinates and facilitates groups in Denver, Colorado, focused on A Course in Miracles. And she made the suggestion that we look at one of the workbook lessons. You know, there's 365. And the one that she wants to look at today, so that we're going to take a look at this, is 187. I bless the world because I bless myself. And if you have A Course in Miracles and you'd like to turn to that with us, that would be really great. And also you can join us in the chat room over on Facebook if you'd like to do that. There's a number of people already there. Good morning and thank you. Some of the people, you know, who are always with us here on Fridays, Renee and Quelly and Greg, thank you so much for being here. And, oh, I see Katie Brower-Weaver. Hey, thanks for coming and joining us today. If you'd like to go over to Facebook, you can do that. It's not necessary, but certainly you can make comments. You can ask questions during the show if you'd like to do that. Or you can give me suggestions, things that you'd like us to talk about. Maybe lessons or pieces of the text that you'd like us to address or issues. You know, maybe there's something you're going, hey, I'm really getting stuck here. Or this is something I want to know more about. So please, you can make those comments and I will read them either during or after the show. So if you'd like to do that, you can do it. And the way you get over to our private page over on Facebook is to go to our radio website, which is 12radio.com. And if you just click on chat, it'll automatically take you over to that private page. So let's get on with the show. Specifically, you know, just really looking at some of the things here in lesson 187 with Susan Dugan. So good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
One thing I always like to ask is why this lesson? You know, what is it that's going on in your life or in your studies that this lesson kind of speaks to you?
Yeah, so I was really drawn to it. It was actually probably a week or two ago, but it doesn't matter, but that I had turned to this lesson, and it just was really speaking to me. It seemed to be, as you know, you can pretty much open the course anywhere and and feel a personal epiphany, you know, coming. What's been going on in my life is that my husband and I are trying to, we've just put our house on the market. We're really trying to downsize, and you know, so we're at 2 months into having done a lot of work on our house and cleaning things up and decluttering and getting rid of stuff, and we're trying to downsize and sort of financially downsize as well, and you know, needing to buy another house. But since we're downsizing, we're hoping to, you know, sell our house first. That was sort of the idea, the cockeyed optimistic idea, I guess, that we came in with when we were approaching this, and then try to, you know, buy a house of lesser value at that point. But Denver, real estate is very tricky, and Denver's real estate market is very interesting, and there's not a lot on the market right now, and so that's why we thought it was a very good time to be putting our house on. But, you know, these things never go quite as expected. Nothing does in your life. And so I'm in a state of kind of constant needing, you know, really wanting, waiting, hoping that our house will sell so that we can get, you know, we're in the meantime, we're seeing cute little houses, the ones that in the market that we're trying to buy into, of lesser value are going, the ones that we like are going very, very quickly, you know? So, mm-hmm. So there's this frustration because you see something that you really love and it's gone, you know, or you try to put an offer on it, but your house it has to be a contingency offer. And so there's all these complicated kinds of things happening. And then there's, you know, mysterious currents in the market. It seems really slow at the moment in our area. And so, so we just have it's all this uncertainty that's going on. And as I was, while going through all of this, and it's been a, you know, kind of an emotional roller coaster. And also we're just trying to, you know, there's so many things that you have to kind of ducks in a row that you have to kind of get together for the selling part of a house. And then also for the buying part, you know, in your own finances and negotiations and all of that. And in really kind of the experience of this in the last few weeks, I'll just pause in this and tell you a funny story that maybe illustrates it. I was getting very upset about the that we weren't getting showings at the moment, and it just seemed to be, you know, this waiting kind of mentality, and so I had gone into a drawer in our kitchen and found where I keep candles and things, and found a smudge stick. I don't know if you know what those are, but uh-huh. So it was like a sage wrapped bundle that we had actually gotten at the year. We used to go to Taos quite a bit, and it's one of my favorite places. And we had bought it at the wonderful Pueblo in Taos. And so, you know, sage sticks were used in Native American ceremonies as, you know, to cleanse negative energy and bring positive energy. I mean, I'm no expert on those traditions, but, you know, they've been used by, people in a contemporary sense for similar reasons, to kind of just clear the air and clear the, you know, any negativity of energy wise and all of that. And so, you know, I'd had some experience with that in the past, and I thought, well, why the heck not? Why not? You know, I mean, we've gotten all this junk out of our house, but, you know, we haven't done anything to clear the energy. So I started this whole routine you know, and then I've never quite understood how you keep the embers from like burning your house down, you know,
right.
So that, So I looked everything up again and Googled it and got all these like different ideas. Like, you know, you're supposed to have an abalone shell and you're supposed to have like, well, that's not going to work. So, but they all agreed that that putting something heat proof under it was a good idea. So, okay. So I just got a pan and I thought, well, I'll just use this. And you know, I lit the stick and I'm going around and it kept going out. So I've got a lighter and I'm trying to balance this. And I'm also trying to go and kind of just give these affirmations of may any negative, anything negative that's no longer serving us leave this house, and, you know, and just bring prosperity and laughter to all who enter here, you know, just really positive kinds of things. And I'm going around and, you know, and to the best of my ability, which was like, seemed like a disaster because it was, it just kept going out and, you know, there, and I was picturing Jesus kind of as, you know, along for the ride, just laughing his head off at the whole thing because, and anyway, so at some point during this sort of little bit of a New Age fiasco that I was engaged in, it just occurred to me and, you know, I mean, this is what the course is always saying anyway, but that the energy is not in the house, you know, that the negativity is not in the house, that the guilt that I'm really, I mean, what the negativity that I'm really trying to get rid of is that sort of existential, universal underlying guilt of, you know, believing that we're separate from God, that we believed in the first place, when we believed the tiny mad idea that we could separate from our, you know, undifferentiated loving union of our source. And that was an impossible dream. But what, since we believed that dream and we seem to be dreaming it, everything here is fraught with positive versus negative. And so I guess the realization, tying that back to this lesson was, you know, at that point I was really kind of laughing at myself. I mean, this is just ridiculous what I'm doing here. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with it. And the course doesn't say that, magic is going to a doctor. Magic is, you know, the course is not telling us to deny our difficult human experience, or the difficulties of our bodies or the challenges of our financial situation or the, you know, the difficulties of things that might be happening to people we love and in the world. But it is telling us to take responsibility back to the mind and, you know, to realize, well, I guess the realization was that I am always only interacting with myself. You know, mm-hmm. that there's nothing negative out there that needs to be dispelled. And that, you know, bringing that back to lesson 187, it's the idea that the forgiveness I give, the forgiveness we talk about in the course, is really always just forgiving ourselves, because who, you know, ultimately we're not really interacting with anything else but dream figures. And so within the dream, I mean, that's the other sort of a realization that I had, more acutely recently than ever before, is that any interaction in this world, if we're choosing the ego as our teacher, if we're interacting within the ego thought system, which most of the time we are because we think we're bodies, is fraught with guilt. I mean, it's fraught with negativity. There's always going to be a winner and a loser. There's no way that you will ever feel completely free of that in the body if you're identified only as a body, you know, mm-hmm. because there's this essential lack within all of us that we're always trying to make up for. And it's the lack of believing that we deserve the love of God, the love of our true self. It's that terrible loss that we believe we experienced that, you know, nothing outside will ever solve. And there's a nagging, you know, very, very deeply buried, but nonetheless nagging sense within all of us that this is, it's not going to work, you know? So we're just driven constantly to try to get from the outside world to solve the problem, to make this, you know, this deal go for me. And hopefully I'll get more out of it than you do, because I realized in all these real estate things, that's what we're doing. I mean, that's what everybody involved in this is doing. And I'm not criticizing that. That's what you do in the world, you know? I mean, you've got to try to make it work for you, right? But that always means that it works at someone else's expense, you know? And that's never going to feel good. I mean, it might for a moment when you quote unquote win, you know, in the sense of you got what you wanted, but it always leaves you with this nagging sense of it's, there's something wrong with this, you know? And so there is an answer, and the course's answer is to really go above the battleground, go back to the mind with Jesus, who was following me around as I was going through my little routine, and take his hand and look at it all with kindness, not stop, you know, doing the things that you have to do to survive in this world, but to do them with his, you know, firmly with his hand in yours, and seeing that what the real thing that I want in all my negotiations, in all of my interactions, is to learn that I am loved and loving and eternally innocent, and so are you. And that no one here, you know, deserves to suffer. And no one here deserves to, deserves punishment, which the ego is always saying that everyone here deserves punishment. It's just trying to find someone who deserves it more than you do.
Right.
You know? So anyway, that's kind of what led me to this. And it's been a very interesting journey in really backing off in on certain days, a moment to moment basis from trying to push things to go my way, and trying to at least be aware that what I'm really trying to learn here is something not of the world, because that's never going to bring me peace. And there's a quote here about the form too, where he says, if I can find it here, in paragraph 4, protect all things you value by the act of giving them away, and you are sure that you will never lose them. And he's not talking about giving things away, but giving forgiveness, you know, seeing that we're all on the same team, all on the same side. What you thought you did not have is thereby proven yours. What you thought you did not have, the innocence that you no longer think you deserve over believing you're this, you know, that you're a fugitive from love, is proven ours by seeing that everyone's the same. Everybody's doing the same thing and, you know, does not deserve punishment, deserves to be loved and cradled and to learn that they're wrong about themselves and that God still opens them with welcome arms, you know? And then he says, yet value not its form, for this will change and grow unrecognizable in time, however much you try to keep it safe. No form endures. It is the thought behind the form of things that lives unchangeable. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the thought that we're trying to get back to is, I'm not the home of evil, darkness, and sin. I'm innocence. And so is everyone else. And this illusion, this dream of constant competition and comparison and victims and victimizers, it's, you know, everybody's acting it out for the same reason, and we're all wrong.
Right.
And we're all still going home together, or not at all, as it says at the end of the Obstacles to Peace. I know that's one of your favorite sections at the moment, because you've been really immersed in it. But, you know, that's the message we're trying to learn from the Course in every moment. And so the blessing that I give the world, you know, I bless the world because I bless the myself, is the awareness that, you know what, I'm trying to learn that I am innocent. And the only way I can do that is to learn that you're innocent. We're in this together. And that's what I really want to learn. And that's the purpose of anything I'm engaged in the world. That's the purpose of this new classroom I have of buying and selling a house. That's the purpose of my relationship with my husband and my relationship with my father and my relationship with my children and, you know, my relationship with my dog and my relationship with the government and my relationship with my bank account and all of it.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Anyway, I'm going to shut up for a little bit.
Oh, you don't need to. No, I love it. And of course, I just, you know, my mind is wrapping around all these things. But one of the things that certainly it wraps around, and it just feels like, I mean, the best description is like a hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about, because we do it over and over and over and over. And as long as we identify with the body and believe that that's who we are, that this is what's going on, then we are forever doing just what you said. In fact, this lesson pointed out too, that you believe that you have to keep negotiating. The yes. only way I'm going to survive is if I negotiate with you, and I've got to make sure that I give you something less valuable than you give me back.
That's right.
And when you think about that, I mean, just kind of go through that in your mind, that every single day, in almost every single moment, that's what we're doing. How do I keep myself safe? How do I get what I need? How do I get my needs met? And, you know, once again, with this whole idea of leaving the tiny mat idea, that we chose to believe that we're this weak, vulnerable creature. And once we kind of put our investment in that belief, then it's really hard to keep it up.
Right.
You know, because we are weak, we are vulnerable. And, you know, in so many ways, and here again, yeah, I'm spending so much time with Ken Wapnick, you know, with his book. I feel like he's my best friend at this moment. But, you know, just the fact that, I mean, several ideas that come to me that I forget is it's not just the choice that we originally made. We continue to make the choice.
Right now.
We're living it right now.
Yeah.
To make that choice. So it's not even like we can go, okay, let's go back and let's reverse that. We're continuing to make that choice right now.
Right.
And that choice says, guess what? I could run away from God. I could run away from heaven, and I could make something else even better. But boy, am I going to get into trouble. And you know, this, by doing this, I've got to somehow convince myself that I'm the innocent victim here. So right. as many times as I can go through my day and convince myself that I'm righteous, you know, I'm the innocent victim. I may be here. This may be going on for me. It's not my fault. It's
yes.
just totally not my fault. And how many times do we do that? And yet that's it. It feels, I mean, even as I'm talking about it right now, it feels wearing. It feels heavy. Like, yeah. Oh my God, when do we ever get to relax? When do we ever get to just
never?
And no, we don't, unless we find another way to think.
That's right.
Because it, you know, when you sell the house, you buy another house, it's not as if something else isn't going to take us. So, you know, it's the
house with problems. Yeah,
right. It's the hamster wheel. I mean, you know, in fact, I remember reading one time in a book, you know, it was a metaphysical spiritual book, and it was saying, don't make to-do lists, because they're just constant reminders of what you haven't done. Now, of course, I can't let go of my to-do
list. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. However, I recognize what they're saying is that there's never going to be a time. Unless, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I really hope there is going to be a time in my life where I could say, I see inner peace. I feel right. inner peace.
Only but, inner peace. Yeah.
Yeah. But for the most part in the world, that is just not going to happen. It's not how things work on planet Earth and in this lifetime. And that, you know, that alone makes me turn to A Course in Miracles. Because it's right. like, oh my God, how much longer can I do this? How can I keep pedaling this hamster wheel? And it feels so incredibly useless, you know, and futile. Right. And, but you know, another idea that comes to me, because, you know, I've said this before, I get really visual messages. I mean, things just come to me in form that way. And as I've been reading The Journey Home with Ken Wapnick and really studying the obstacles to peace, so often he'll say something and it's like it just pops up. But it's really been helping me recently. And that is, and this isn't exactly what he said. This is just a visual I got. But basically, everything that we're seeing is just a shadowed projection of our decision to be separated. Mm-hmm. And it's like all of a sudden I could see in my mind, like in my own head, like this old movie projector, and just see these images continually being projected out into the
right.
world. But where it's really helped me is especially in difficult situations. Now, the truth is I'm projecting the things that I like as well. You know, I'm right. When there's something really positive, because you know, and that's one of those issues. And of course, you read it and you go, "What?" When it says pain and pleasure are basically for the same purpose,
right?
Pain and pleasure both keep saying the body is real.
They keep us going back to the world and trying to make it work, don't they?
Right, trying to change it. But anyway, I literally, like on my walk the other day, something was going on, you know, that I didn't like, because I've got very definite opinions about how people should keep those dogs on leashes, you know, and all this. I'm just going, all of a sudden I could just see it. It's like, here are all these projections coming right out of my head, and somehow just visualizing that person in that situation and going, that's the shadow of my decision to be separated. That is a shadowed projection, and I'm creating it right in front of me, what it looks like to feel I'm the innocent victim here.
Right.
This isn't my fault. And so just even some of these visuals, sometimes I do kind of stop and laugh and go, really? You know, so you just created this little situation so that now you can be righteous. Now you can be the innocent victim. You obviously needed to feel like the innocent victim here. So, and it's tough. It's, you know, it's so, so tough, because don't we all love to get together and say, wait till you hear what happened to me?
Well, I think, CA, that's the key, is that, you know, to really see, and I really see it these days more than I wish I did at times, but how excruciatingly delicious it is to perceive myself unfairly treated.
Yes.
And in situations where I feel like I'm getting it from every side, even better, you know, even better. Like, and isn't this, and I mean, there's a certain delight in kind of taking the punches I think I deserve. I mean, that's really kind of sad to say, but it's, you know, there is this part of me that has been walking around all my life going, yeah, you know, you're right. Hanging my head ready for the next punch, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I think we can all, if we're honest with ourselves, maybe relate to that at times. And, you know, there is, that's the way we set it up. You know, we took the idea of guilt and we set it up. And as you said, we're setting it up in every moment. We took the idea of guilt. The idea of guilt surfaces in our mind over the belief that this separation really occurred. And what do? With it? We project it outwards, and then we perceive it as coming back to us in the form of an attack without ever remembering that we put it out there. So, you know, we're under constant attack. I mean, I always think of it as like one of those space video games with the, video is not the right word anymore, but you know what I'm saying, with the asteroids coming at you and everything. And, you know, it's like, oh, I'm under, you know, terrible attack. And isn't it wonderful to be on that ship, you know, with all the rest of the people, only I'm taking it more than they are, because, you know, I'm the captain of my dream, right? You know?
Uh-huh.
And so it's just, it's really, you know, it's this denial of responsibility for it that we finally have to get back. You know, we have to kind of look at finally and kind of look at how much there's that glee that we feel. Oh, there it goes again. There it goes again. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to, and I often get the thought too of, you know, I'm never going to make it home. Not in this lifetime, you know, cause this is just too much for me.
Right.
This is just more than one dream figure should have to go through.
That's right. Well, in fact, you know, it's funny you'd say that, because there's several times when situations will come up and somebody says, well, you know, you really need to address this or work on it. I go, not in this lifetime.
Right.
You know, I've made my peace with it. It's like, this is the way it is. I'm not going there. I don't care. You know, and they're like, but you would be so much happier, or this and this and this. And I go, yeah, you're probably right, but I'm not doing it. And I literally say, I'm saving that one for another lifetime. Okay. We're just going to put that one on the shelf. I don't care.
Right. Well, I mean, and it's funny that we all, you know, we all do this. But the truth is that the way out is there for us right now too, in any moment. And, you know, in those moments when you step back and just say, you know, I'm willing to see it with you, Jesus. You know, this is, it's really silly what I'm doing. It's just really silly that I keep insisting I'm interacting with something real. And, you know, I'm the victim of the world I see, and I'm different from these other people that are, you know, I could be peaceful except for this other person and this other person, or what just happened in this situation, or what he just did or she just did, or, you know, and on and on. When I can kind of vertically get out of this loop of the ego thought system of constant defense and attack, and, you know, the defending ourselves that we have to do to just feel okay to get through our day is unbelievable when you think about it. Uh-huh. I mean, we're doing it, you know, 24/7, all of us, just to try to be able to sleep at night, you know?
Right.
And if I can step out of that loop, because within the loop, the volley of guilt just, it just keeps going, you know? It's just like a metronome. It just doesn't stop.
And yet, you know, like what we've always said, and I don't want to kind of not mention this, is that the option here is to stop. The option is right. to go above the battleground. The option is to go, hold on for a second. I'm going to flip the switch. If right. even for a minute.
Yes.
I'm going to go to that place. And I've told you before, I kind of had this whole place in my head where I go and into the forest and meet yes. Jesus. And it's like, just go there. You can stop right this second and you can go there. And you yes. can literally in your body, in your mind, feel what maybe it feels like to not be carrying that load.
Right.
And somehow I know I'm going to go pick it up again, you know, right. because that's what I do.
Well, but you're still afraid. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do know that it's possible. There are those glimmers. There are those moments when I go, oh my God, I was doing this again. I was you know, and that's it. Like I said, now kind of sometimes when I see all this stuff going on, I literally imagine all these kind of shadowy shapes and go, oh, you're projecting all those. You're putting mm-hmm. all those out there and they're representative of your decision that you need to be separate from that person, from right. God, from whatever, that you would rather be an individual than to, you know, to kind of disappear into the heart of God or whatever, which that's the other thing Ken was saying, you know, several times in this book I'm reading. He goes, you know, most of us, let's face it, we're scared to death that could happen. That doesn't
yes.
sound really interesting, does
yeah.
it? You know, disappear into the heart of God, or leap into heaven. It's like, oh, wait a minute. There's some things I want to do first. There's some fun I want to have. You know,
right.
there's some things I want to accomplish before that happens. And, you know, I think that's the other thing is we just have to continually in every single moment recognize ourselves as decision makers.
Yes. Right
that's
now
so,
I have a choice, you know,
yeah,
and that's
so
what I was
important.
Saying about the vertical, you know, the choice to get out of it vertically instead of being in this constant loop of the ego thought system. You have to sort of rise above in the moment. And what makes you do that is to kind of just say, wait a minute, you know, my pain and despair and upset is what should inform me that, oh, I must be wrong again. You know, I mm-hmm. must have chosen again. To you know, I want to be a victim here because I'm afraid of love. I did it again. And not that doesn't make me bad. I mean, not to judge ourselves, but to just say, I'm wrong. I need help. I want, because I could see peace instead of this. And, you know, to the extent that we can just step back a little bit, that's the only thing we really have to do, because that opens the door. That is the invitation to the Holy Spirit, as the Course calls it, that opens the door to our right mind. You know, where Jesus is just waiting for us and has never left. I mean, we've never left our mind either. So he's right there beside us. But, you know, we're trying to explain this in images and words that we can understand in the condition we think we're in. But, you know, that love, that ever-present, all-inclusive love that holds everyone, that cradles every frightened fragment of the decision-making mind, is here right now. And, you know, within that love, I can know that I'm safe. I can have, you know, I can breathe freely. I can see that, you know, all of this is just, as you're saying, it's just shadowy projections of a long ago. I mean, it's not true that it's long ago, but it seems very long ago within the ego thought system, thought idea that was mistaken, that we could want to escape love, that it really had any consequences, that God noticed it, and that, you know, it ever went anywhere. It didn't. We're right back where we always were, cradled in that love. And, you know, that those moments when we spend there by choosing to, because it can't happen unless we recognize we're wrong and open that door. But in those, in our willingness to do that and experience that more and more, while we're also really paying attention to how unhappy it makes us to the futility that we're learning by paying attention to it, of the ego thought system, that never gets rid of the guilt. It's a maladaptive solution to a non-existent problem, as Ken always said. And so that is, you know, to the extent that we practice that throughout our day as consistently as we can, that we remember, and that's what I've been reminding myself of too, a lot lately, is what's my purpose here? What's my real purpose? Yeah, I mean, I've got the purpose in the world that we've got to sell this house. We've got to buy another one. We've got to do this, this, and this. But what's my purpose in all of this? Well, my purpose is to learn that I'm innocent and so are you. And all the players in this drama of, you know, this classroom that's going on right now for me, which will change after this is done, to another classroom and another, you know, all of those can be used for a different purpose. The ego, you know, while I was lost in the trance of the ego, I was using it to immerse myself more deeply in this dream so that I would never get back to the mind. But I've changed direction. And now my purpose of all of these classrooms is to learn something else. And every time I, you know, make that shift back to my right mind and catch myself and realize I'm wrong and that I'm choosing this, that's why I'm suffering right now, has nothing to do with what's happening out there. It's not because of the other person or the situation I'm confronted with. Every time I make that shift, more guilt goes away. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus's job to deal with the guilt. That just goes away of its own. I don't have to try to undo it or let go of it. It just happens, you know, and I build trust every time I make that shift in, you know, I'm able to stay a little longer, maybe a little more frequently with that love. And certainly I remember I have the choice more, the more I do it. And so, you know, and the uncomfortable quality of my experience when I'm identified as a body becomes more and more uncomfortable. You know, that's what makes me, that contrast is what makes me more and more willing to say, wait a minute, you know, as I was saying at the beginning, the smudging needs to happen in my mind, you know. It's not in the house.
Well, in fact, Susan, Greg posted a picture in the chat room of sage burning in a bowl and says, smudging Jesus.
Oh, well, I started to
you're
smudge
right.
My
you need
own.
To smudge your mind. started to what?
Well, I had started actually to, you know, when I had that realization, I was starting to smudge my own body. And then that's when I just burst out laughing, you know, and just said, this is just ridiculous. And plus, Jesus, you better get out of here because you're going to catch on fire.
Yeah, really?
With those robes.
But you know what you're saying. And I mean, I want to make, because we have such a metaphysical audience, you know, I do those things too. And I love those. But, you know, I must admit, when you first started talking about it, you don't exactly seem like the smudging type. But but here's what was funny is, you know, in the language of the course, they talk about all our magic wands. We right. pull out all our magic wands, you know, yes. to change something in the world. And I thought, here's Susan Dugan with her magic wand, literally her smudge stick. And I'm going to get rid of all this negativity. I'm going to change all this negativity. And like I said, I do that, too. In fact, you know, I have a bell. that I used to do a lot of house clearings and energetic clearings in kind of, you know, a former
object. Maybe I need you to come over to my house.
No, and so I was sitting here thinking, hey, Susan, I actually have a bell. And if you ring the bell, it'll change the energy. And I have these little tingling bells. I mean, and like I said, I got them all in Bali, literally. Ooh. You know, I mean, they are certainly more special than anything that
yes.
didn't come from Bali, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I am laughing because I recognize every time I do that, every time I make something special, it's only special because I made it special.
Right.
You know, it's only healing or worthy because I made it special. But, you know, that bell does mean something to me and I keep it in a special place, you know, in its own little, you know, thing. And not, well, it's not exactly an altar, but I've got it on its own little kind of elevated stand. Let's put it that way. And, you know, those things are important, but they are also the classroom. Just like you said, you know, what is this? It's smudging our minds. That's what needs to be smudged.
Right, exactly.
The bell needs to ring out the truth and to wake us up and remind us of what the truth is. So we don't, once again, turn around and put all the importance, all the magic, all the power into the smudge stick or into the process of walking around the room and doing it a certain way. In fact, that's one thing I guess I've always been kind of sacrilegious about. Is that as a tarot reader or an astrologer, I know a lot of people who have very specific rules about that. Like you don't touch the deck, you don't let other people touch the deck, or you don't do this, or you don't do that. Now, I'm not making fun of that because I do believe whatever your process is, you have to respect the process. But for me, I've always kind of looked at these cards and said, they're cardboard. They're cardboard with pictures on them. And they are an incredible tool. I love them. But there's no magic in the card.
Right.
You know, the magic is in me, or the magic is in mass consciousness, that I will allow something to speak to me, something to come to me by using this card or using these crystals or using this astrology chart. But the magic is in the person or in our ability to learn something from it, not in the card itself or, you know, to me. But like I said, I really do feel like people have to respect their process. So if you want to deal only with your left hand, or when you're doing, you know, clearing of your house, if you only want to smudge from left to right, those are very important things but once again, we give everything the power that it has in our lives. It's our
right.
belief, which kind of goes back to this lesson. I thought it was interesting, you know, just this idea, you can only give away what you already have.
Yes.
And actually where I was going, which I'm not sure this is really part of the lesson, but I just recognize so much, why do people get so mad at us when we don't share their ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Because we diminish ideas if we don't share them. We build ideas. We give them credibility by sharing them, spreading them, and by believing them.
Mm-hmm.
So people do feel attacked when we don't agree or share their ideas.
Right, right.
You know, we sense that energetic thing of we can share things. We can share ideas, not things.
Right. But there's usually a sense of judgment to those kinds of ideas. You know, when we're identified with the ego, the ideas that we're teaching are that, you know, you're the bad guy, I'm the right one.
Right.
You know, and so that's not really what I think they're talking about.
I was getting off track, Susan, but occurred to me.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember how to mute things around here. Okay. But also getting back to the idea of the smudging and the cards and all of that kind of stuff, you know, the Course talks about magic as being part of kind of the compromise approach that we do in the world. And the Course's idea of magic is really, you know, kind of says that you're trying to solve something, solve a problem where it is not, you know, but it doesn't say don't do that. So it's the same thing. Like we go to a healthcare practitioner, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a headache, you take an ibuprofen or something, you know, it's to be kind to ourselves And anything that would make the body feel a little better is not a crime, you know,
right?
from the course's perspective. But on the other hand, it's you know, really like the all of that is trying to deal with the symptoms, the projection of my belief in separation, you know, and the real problem of not feeling loved and loving and not feeling deserving of love is solved only in the mind. There's nothing out, there's no substitute that can make up for that, you know? And the whole idea of this, in this lesson too, of giving to get, which is the idea of sacrifice, he keeps repeating that word, mm-hmm. you know, of sacrifice, and that's a very big theme in the course. Well, the world is built on the idea of sacrifice. The way we get to feel good about ourselves is to give something up to someone and to feel that they are somehow indebted to us as a result, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that never, it never really, it's always kind of fraught with guilt because it never really works. You know, those are the special relationship bargains that we make to get our needs met, and they're not honest. And so it's fine to treat ourselves in the world and do the things that, you know, to as long as we think we're bodies, it can be very kind to do magic that makes the body feel better, you know, to clear mm-hmm. a house or to get a massage or to get a tarot reading or, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, the work that we're really asked to do in the course is a completely different thought system, you know, is completely trying to change the direction of where we're going to find peace and to learn that it's not where we thought it was, and that I can take responsibility for a different choice that will always bring me peace no matter what's happening to the body or the world. Because as this lesson says, you know, put your faith not in form. The form of the world will, it's programmed. We programmed it to self-destruct, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not going to endure. It's not going to, you know, even the things that we most value in the world are going to fail us. That's the way we set it up, you know. That was part of the punishing plan to make up for what we think we did. So we really do want to learn something that we can put our faith in, and we're learning that's available right now, you know. Ultimately, mm-hmm. that's what's going to get us to disidentify with the body and bring us the real peace and self-love that we're all looking for, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I want to say one thing too that is hard to articulate, but it's this idea that often, like when I'm reading a course, I can see these being really sticking points for people. I'm almost reminded when I was younger, I'm not sure I really ever bought into this idea, but, you know, teachers would say, read the paragraph or read through, and if you come across a word you don't know or whatever, just keep moving. Don't let that be a stumbling block. Now, I was one of those people, no, I need to know what the word means. But the point is this, in reading a course, sometimes when there are things like you're afraid of love or you're afraid of God, you are, you know, and of course this comes right out of the obstacles to peace. I don't identify with that. It's mm-hmm. like, what do you mean I'm afraid of love? I mean, I can't wrap my intellectual mind around I'm afraid of love.
Right.
And it kind of becomes this trite, kind of going back to learn to love yourself, you know, these phrases. But I have learned with a course, okay, I can't wrap my head around that. I don't really know what that means. I can't resonate. Oh, yeah, I'm afraid of God. Or, oh, yeah, I feel guilty. Or, oh, yeah, I feel I'm afraid of love. I can't wrap my intellectual mind around that. So, but I don't let it become a stumbling block. I just go, yep, that's something that's so buried, so deep. I don't have to intellectually understand this.
Right.
What I have to understand in this moment is that this situation felt really bad when I lost my cool. This felt so bad when, you know, and just trying to look at it, like, you know, so often something will happen with one of the dogs and I get extremely angry. And so often, I couldn't articulate to you, oh, that's because I'm afraid of love. But I can all of a sudden step back and say, you know, you just became very, very afraid. You became afraid that this would, that they would abandon you, that something would happen to them, and then you'd feel guilty. And so even making these little steps of going, okay, why did you get so angry? Well, because they reminded me, something happened to remind me that this world, you know, is not permanent, that it's always going to kind of disappoint me, or, you know, or they are going to leave me, something is going to happen. And so just take a step back and recognize that you're really fearful,
right?
That you are fearful, right? Even if you can't quite get to that point of, okay, I separated from God. Because, you know, sometimes, I mean, I read that, I do believe it, but, you know, I just kind of wanted to put that out there, because sometimes we throw these phrases out there, and I'm always aware that people that study A Course in Miracles, they get much of this language. But people tuning in who don't are, right, you know, are like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And so, you know, I do that too. Sometimes I'm going, okay, Course, what are you talking about? But no, I do understand that in this moment, when I lost my cool with the docs, when I yelled at that driver, when I got afraid, that's what was happening. My body literally seized up because this made me feel afraid. And I don't want to feel that. That's
right.
Not how I want to live my life. So keep teaching me, keep bringing me back to that place. And maybe someday, maybe I will understand what it means that I'm afraid of love. But for now, you know, you got my attention.
Well, and right. And the Course is completely consistent. So anytime I'm have a negative emotion or reaction, and anytime I'm pointing a finger at something as the cause, I'm afraid of love.
Right.
That's the Course's thought. You know, the Course is saying there's something going on that you don't understand. You think it's this, but it's not.
Right.
And so that's all I need to know. That right now I want to say that this situation or this person is responsible for how I'm feeling, and I'm wrong.
Yep.
That's all we're asked to do, you know, but that is reflecting always consistently the belief that we're, you know, the belief that we attacked love and can no longer, we're now afraid of it. We're afraid of it punishing us back.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
Well,
perfectly,
Susan,
consistent. Yeah.
It is. And Susan, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and for suggesting this lesson. And I really do hope that in your illusion, you know, in your illusion, in your world, that things, that you just have more peace, that, you know,
yes,
things really do go.
Yes, I will find peace no matter what.
If you want me to come over and ring my bell.
Maybe so.
Hey, I'm really good with the
Jesus smoking. Is going to be here too, though. Just,
okay.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love that. Because, yeah, I like doing those energetic clearings. I mean, to me, they really are, yeah.
It can be great magic. They can feel really good, yeah.
Oh, and Susan, I know how to make holy water. I mean.
Oh, my God.
I know the whole ball of wax, honey. Yeah. Who
knew? Right.
So, yeah, we'll have to talk.
High five to you.
We'll have to do that. So would you like to make any announcements before we close the show today?
No, not really. I think there, you know, the Foundation for A Course in Miracles has a great new website that you could go visit. I'm listening to a wonderful new CD set that was on sale. I don't know if it's still on sale there, but called When Vice is Virtue and Virtue is Vice. And it's a very long academy class that I actually attended in, I think it was in 2012 or 13. And it's really, really wonderful. And it's just almost entirely questions too, which is some of the best questions and answers of Ken's I find the most helpful. So anyway, you might want to check that out.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. Yeah, because talk about, kind of kicking yourself, judging yourself. What I've been judging myself on this week is not having attended more classes with Ken.
Yeah, well.
Because I listen to him all the time and I read him and I'm like, what were you thinking?
Well, fortunately, there's so many available in recordings that, I more than to keep us busy for a very long time. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's right. That is right.
And to keep us informed and helping us. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's so funny. We'll find anything to beat ourselves up over, won't we?
Oh, I know. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's still with us.
He is. But, you know, really, I just think I only attended one workshop with him and I'm like, all those years, what were you thinking?
Yeah. Now, I didn't as many, you know, I only attended toward the end of his life too, and I wish I had attended more.
Yeah. And by the way, I am posting your website in the chat room over on
Facebook.
Thank you. Also, the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, which is what we are talking about, the teaching arm of A Course in Miracles, which is, you know, Ken's baby and just tons and tons and tons of stuff, either for purchase or just to read. I mean, you could spend hours and hours every day lost on that site just reading some of the stuff that's available. So I'm posting that, which is www.facim.org. So you can find that in the chat room or just Google it or go look it up, Foundation for A Course in Miracles. So Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
And thank you, CA.
If you want my bell ringing, or I would love to come over and see you. Maybe
I might take you up on that.
Okay, that sounds great. And everybody, right. I hope you have a good week, you know, and just play with your life, you know, and just remember that you are a decision maker. You can change your mind. You can make a different choice. And we're here every Friday talking about A Course in Miracles in this time slot. So thanks for joining us. Thanks to our producer, Scott Weaver. And for now, I am signing out. Stay tuned for all the other live programming that's coming up next. You have been listening to what's called right now the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.
It is the giving of the peace in your mind to a stranger, to a friend.